that we rely on God to lead us through this preparation, and we rely on God to lead us also through this presentation. And we're talking about communication, which effectively includes conflict resolution. Sharon has a few things to say as well, and we will alternate suitably. Now, we spent quite a bit of time preparing, because when I heard that we were going to talk, we had about 4 or 5 weeks, but that was cut short. In any case, I'm not making any excuses. I very quickly realized that in half an hour, I'll be really in big trouble if I try and reflect what we've seen. So what you see here is basically an extract of what we've actually met. You'll see it at the bottom. I've listed a few sources. It's just a few short sources. We've got a pack of stuff which we actually worked through. But our main emphasis is on the Bible. Also just like to mention that we've been married for 48 years.
Yay!
I think Sharon managed quite well to resolve conflict. That's why we're still together. We've been together all the time as well. So. In spite of the fact that we've been married for 48 years, we learned quite a lot by preparing for this. So we're not setting ourselves out as experts at all. But you will see, there's a bit of material here. Communication is a life skill. It is not something that we're born with. We have to learn communication. It is a life skill for our needs as well as for the needs of those we actually come in contact with. It's a key to healthy relationships. Absolutely key. Now, the intent of looking at conflict resolution and communication skills is to create more love and respect. Includes conflict resolution. Point of reference is the Bible, and Sharon will just read that verse. It's James 1 verse 9.
James 1 verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
This is something that I always associate with Mark Ottenweller, because he brought it up time and again. Effectively, what it says is he proposes engaged listening. He proposes, obviously, speaking, but at the right pace and at the right time. And then, not in the same words, he proposes stress management. And effectively, what this scripture says, it says that in communicating, there will be conflict. In relationships, there will be conflict. So this is what we'll do, is we will look at listening, we look at speaking, and we will look at stress management, or anger, or conflict, and then we will spend a bit of time on conflict resolution. So, listening. When you listen to someone, or when somebody talks to you, you must acknowledge the thoughts, the ideas, the feelings of that person. And in order to make sure that you pick that up correctly, you need to give feedback. And there's more than one way of giving feedback, by open-ended questions, by the right body language, showing that you actually understand by summarizing what you have perceived, as I've said, body language, but positive body language, not that kind of body language. Okay, and to listen well is not an effortless process. It is something that you need to work on. It is also, and this is something that Rose mentioned at some stage, maybe in the shepherding class, something like that, yes? Listening well to someone is a manifestation of love. Listening well to God through His Word is our manifestation of our love for God as well. And then, just a question, and this is the only question that I'm posing to you. Imagine you are caught or somebody, or you catch somebody not listening to you. How would you feel? Anybody give a try? How would you feel if you realize that I've spoken and this person did not listen to me?
Joy.
Disappointment. Rose.
Invisible.
Invisible.
Not loved.
Not unloved. Yes, absolutely. Okay, now this is about listening. Now, we can talk for half an hour on listening and listening skills. So let's move on to speaking.
Okay. Words matter. And in Proverbs 18 verse 21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Mm-hmm. Now, the tongue is really a deadly weapon, and words can really harm and hurt and destroy relationships if we don't use them carefully. Damaging speech comes in lies, slander, gossip, put-down, sarcasm, innuendo, threats, criticism, false testimony, exaggeration, coarse joking. Now, I just want to share a bit of the last conflict that Johan and myself had, because even after 48 years, you still make mistakes. And you still learn, and you're never too old to learn. And this preparation really taught us that you are never too old to learn new skills to help your marriage. So I just want to share that Johan was in a situation where someone asked him for some help. But because this has happened before, we decided that he won't help again. But another request came. And when Johan listened to the request, he just felt for certain reasons, he just couldn't say no. So he helped out again. But he didn't really discuss it with me because the situation was such he had to make a quick decision. And then also he didn't really tell me about it for a few days. But I think because of my response, he knew I wouldn't respond in a very good way. And when he actually told me, I wasn't happy. But Johan was busy with exams, and I didn't want to upset Johan, so we didn't really discuss the matter very well. And then after his exams, his brother died, and we had to go for the funeral to South Africa. So, again, I couldn't speak my mind. But on the inside, things were turning, and rocks were forming, and my emotions, I had to suppress them a lot. And then after the funeral, we once had a coffee, and I thought maybe this is the time. But when I started talking, the emotion sort of just took over. And not good words came out of my mouth. Very unkind words and harsh words came out of my mouth. And Johan was so shocked when I told him how I felt that that he gave me the reasons why I actually did it. And I was gutted when I heard what he had to say. And but because I didn't know that, I felt this way. But after he told me, I felt totally different. But now it was too late. I've spoken the words. And once you've spoken the words, you can never take them back again. Yeah. Obviously, Johan was so hurt. And I apologized a few times. And because I have a husband with a lot of grace, he forgave me. But still, I'm sure the hurt is still there. The scars remain. But that just taught me how careful one needs to be with the words that you speak. And there's a saying which says, make your words sweet and soft, because you may have to eat them. And before you speak, maybe there's three questions that we need to ask ourselves. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind?
Amen.
I've forgiven her completely. I don't know about any scars that are left at all. And that's not the reason why we're talking about anger now. Anger is the third issue that James actually pulls out in his scripture. When you can be in two situations when anger arises. You can be on the receiving end, or you can be on the end of having anger. When you're on the receiving end, it helps you to understand, first of all, that people don't know much about anger. It's the least known emotion. But the one thing that we know about anger, it is the one emotion that must come out somehow. Second thing, anger may stimulate positive energy. So when you're in that anger situation, see the potential of it having a positive outcome. And thirdly, remember that the person's anger could probably be due to fear, pain, despair, or frustration. And when you remember that, it helps you to build up a bit of compassion. Makes you sort of absorb the shocks, the verbal shocks that may come. Again, when you hear what this person has to say, rephrase and ask, is this what you mean, etc. Also, think about how you would have reacted in that person's situation. If you think about that, you may understand very well the reason for that person's anger. And then apologize if it is necessary. If you're on the end of being angry, respond by using I statements. I felt this. I thought this was the case. So don't use you, because the moment that you put that person in a position where he starts defending himself. Talk about your own mistakes. That takes off the table the issue of defensiveness. Avoid judgments. Words like worst. This is the worst situation. It's the worst thing that could ever have happened. You'd better never do this again, or something like that. And then stay in the present time. Don't you always do this. I don't know if you can imagine what it feels like if somebody, you always do this. You never say you love me. And don't exaggerate. If it is something small, don't make it bigger. If it's something big, don't make it bigger yet. And always be aware of your own contribution to the situation. And, okay, that's now the three aspects that James actually handles. So let us hang around conflict a little bit. You see, this is a quote. Conflict is the stuff of life. Before a human being is 2 years old, he finds himself in conflict situations. So, we just have to bear it. It's the normal part of any healthy relationship. It's not just an unhealthy relationship we're talking about. We're really talking about healthy relationships. Because we are different, we have different needs, and differences arise. Also, conflict is not the problem. It is how we actually handle the conflict. If you avoid it, another thing about Mark Ottenweller, if you avoid conflict, you will be surrounded by it very soon. If you just leave it, it festers and it really becomes an issue. It leads to broken relationships. It will lead to really unhealthy relationships. Then, also, of course, conflict leads to strong emotions. That is why one of the things that you require for healthy relationships is the control of your emotions. You must know yourself. You must know how you will react under certain conditions. When you get cross, when you really become depressed. And then, of course, your reaction in a conflict situation is based on your perception of the situation. So make sure that you have the right perception of what is happening. And the last thing, of course, is don't jump to conclusions. I think conflict is, of course, an opportunity for growth. And one other thing is, I'd like to talk about, if you're in a conflict situation, don't try to prove yourself, to prove that you were right, to prove anything. Rather, try to improve the situation. A little bit about conflict. Why do we avoid conflict? Fear. Fear of losing the relationship. Fear of hurting the partner, of provoking the partner. And fear of being perceived as bad. Now, if you know the benefits of having the difficult conversation, it actually helps you to overcome that fear. I can just share from my part. I'm the guy who doesn't talk. And I don't talk, probably, if you're wondering which one of the four, I tell you, all four. And maybe my family knows me. Maybe I'm a bit, what do you say, OCD or whatever. Like things to be lined up and bed to be neat and to and my wife is not OCD. I remember when I met her, I once walked into her room in the dormitory where she stayed, and I was shocked to see the bed. Everything was on top of the bed. I married her, and when I walk into the room, half of the stuff is still on the bed. On the other side of the bed. Now, about 20 years ago, maybe more, maybe a few years less, I once, and I don't really talk about that, once thought that maybe, you know, she hates smoke, she hates cigarette ash. Maybe I should get myself an ashtray, smoke a cigarette and just get the ash, put there and put it in some ash. So, I never did it, but it just shows you where I come from. Thinking about it, that I would describe that as me giving my wife a smoke signal. I'm beyond that stage at this stage.
No, yeah.
Then, responses to conflict. Three possible, I mean, we know in psychology they're talking about the flight or the fright. Flight is the passive, fight is the aggressive. If you have a passive response, you're not getting anywhere. It just leads to resentment, bitterness, and more bad stuff. You can imagine, if you have the fight attitude, it causes more trouble, broken relationships. The ideal response is to be assertive. I'll talk a little bit more about assertiveness, but just briefly, when you're assertive, you don't assume. You ask questions, you respond, you don't react. You're calm, you're kind. If you really don't know what to do, keep quiet, count to 10, or recite a short thingy, but do it quietly. You can imagine if you're in this situation and you start off, Baba, black sheep. Find yourself, maybe, the other side of the room, I think. Now, the correct responses to conflict requires your ability to quickly relieve stress and the ability to remain comfortable with your own emotions. If you become angry, let it seep out. If excited, keep quiet. Baba black sheep or completely David. A little bit more about assertive, because this is really an important concept. Honestly express your own needs and your wants and your feelings, but do it while respecting the needs of the other. Take responsibility for your own shortcomings, your own actions. Apologize. This helps you to be non-threatening and non-judgmental. The moment that you put it on yourself. And then, if you're assertive, you react more genuinely. You have less anxiety. And also, there won't be resentment, or there will be less resentment. It gives you control over your life, and it allows you to let the partner control his own life as well. Sometimes you must accept, okay, with a reason to be angry, be angry. And it helps. Sorry. Use the expression, you know, if you say this, then I feel that. Mm. It's not accusing anything. Mm. It is opening yourself up and just telling what is the situation.
Proverbs 17, verse 27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered.
That pretty much says it all. Now, the positive aspects of conflict. It preserves love. Really, this is what conflict is designed for. It resolves alienation and it empowers you. You know, when you're in a situation where you really feel, man, I've been done in, and you see yourself as the victim, you actually give all your power to the other side. If you take power and don't see yourself as a victim, you're basically strong in the situation and there's hope for it to get better. Conflict solves problems. It is opportunity for growth. It clarifies reality. You know, in a conflict situation, sometimes you hear truths which you would not otherwise have heard. Maybe the wrong way or whatever, but if you work through it properly, there will be a positive outcome. Then, it is our responsibility to influence each other to the best, to be the best. We cannot change somebody, but we can promote change. We can help somebody to change. And then, again, another thing that Mark Ottenweller always said, if you start complaining, this and that, you would just say, listen, go home. If you change, she will change. Remember that. This is what happens. And the motive must never be to punish, to get somebody back, or to fix the problem. It's not straightforward. It doesn't work that way. Okay, and then maybe you should read this.
John 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, okay, and then this is the basis of conflict resolution, and that is truth and love. Truth and grace. That's what John also says, yes. Truth is necessary to clarify the effect of the behavior and to clarify the reasons for your expectations. Clarify the situation. And grace is to bring patience and understanding into the situation. You must show compassion. But there must be a balance between truth and grace. There cannot be more truth or more grace. If there's truth without grace, there's no love. If there's grace without truth, there's no change. The change that is possible is probably negative. And truth and grace must not live in two different worlds. You cannot decide this discussion, I'm really going to tell him his fortune. No grace. Or I'm really going to be soft because whatever. It's not going to work that way. The basis for resolution, connection is best when it is truthful, and truth is best when there is connection. If there is too much truth, you can lose the connection. And that is a disaster if you want to resolve this conflict. I said it before, if there is too much grace, there won't be any change. Ephesians 4:15.
Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things go up into Him who is the head, that is Christ.
Is that not what conflict is about? It is for us to grow. And our relationships must grow. And a few bounces grow from your well-managed conflict. And we're hoping that this will help you to communicate a little bit better. And these are life skills that we can barely afford not to have. Barely afford not to have. And then, just a little bit of communication. I'm not going to read it. That's not what I say. This is what Max Lucado says. He wrote a long passage about all the fruits of the Spirit. This is just the last bit. If you want the whole passage, tell me, I will give you a copy. But it's beautifully written. But that ends our bit on communication.
Amen.